What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
What up? It's your girl, Sammy Joe.
Oh, my God.
No. What's going on? Are we all hungover? Oh, is that what's happening right now?
It's amazing how we've been doing this for 2.5 years or 3 years, and somebody still can't get it right. Like she's new or something like that. Every time, it's always something. Oh my God. Her video's all blurred out and everything. Poor internet quality, everything.
The full house out there. She can't run the cable, so that she's not on wireless. But we'll figure it out, guys. We're learning here. We're progressing. After 3 years, we're still learning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of The Salty Show, another male-female episode with Sammy Joe. Oh, man. And what are we going to talk about today? Who is the prize in a relationship, the man or the woman?
Let's see.
Let's discuss that. Also, feminism has completely destroyed movies and entertainment. And I think it's time to cancel your subscriptions, folks. These conglomerate streaming companies are ruining everything. All right, we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. So what's happening, guys? I mean, I think we're all like, it's a Sunday early, and I think we're still recovering. Is that what's happening?
This should happen on Friday.
This should happen on Friday. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't really even drink. I had 2 drinks, and my body's like, no, you don't want it.
I think Tim has been drinking since Thursday. My
body,
right?
I had like 10 drinks. Me?
Yeah. So you've been drinking?
Actually, yeah, I've been going out every night.
You look like you've been drinking.
Oh, oh yeah. Last night was like horrible, bro.
What? So where did you?
So we went to State 48, the brewery Happy Valley in 17. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a country bar across the street. So everybody, like all the girls wanted to go there. So everybody's all right, we're going to the country bar. Oh my God. I mean, beautiful women in there. Unbelievable. But dude, I had too many drinks. No, I don't talk to anybody there.
What were you drinking?
Yeah, tell us.
Just kettle soda, man.
Ooh, you weren't drinking beer. Ooh, you were drinking liquor.
No, I stopped drinking beer. That's why I cut 10 pounds, dude.
Oh.
When did that happen?
Yeah, because you don't normally drink beer.
So
man.
when we got back from, you know, our trip. I got a scale and I always weigh my, and I was working out, so I jumped on the scale. I was 170 when we got back from Puerto Vallarta, and I was like
damn.
I was like, I was averaging about between 160 167, but I was like I see the seven so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna cut beer and a lot of carbs. And dude, I pretty much, you know, went on not so much the carnivore diet, but you know, pretty much just meat and veggies for the most part, and you know, salad.
Oh shit.
Dude, I cut 10 pounds.
Talking about carnivore diet.
And then I got into the car accident.
Oh, shit. That's right.
And then I got into the car accident and I can't work out. So it's like, yeah, I'm shedding weight, but I'm like, I can't do anything.
Define your muscles. You
know? Yeah.
No. So I was talking to Samantha about the carnivore diet, and I guess you're going to do it. So is this your first day, Samantha, that you're carnivore?
Today's day one. Today's day one.
Have you eaten
breakfast
anything? What did you eat?
Chicken.
Chicken,
I grilled chicken
breakfast. So are you doing like 3 meals a day, or are you like on 2 meals, or what are you doing?
I'm gonna just go on how I'm just gonna go, like when I'm hungry I'm gonna eat it, but like essentially I usually eat about 3 meals a day, but that's what I already had. So I like went to Costco today and I got like eggs and like other different types of meat, because I'm, you know, I gotta have more than just beef or whatever. So I got ground turkey, and I was looking at the packages on stuff, because I was like, dang, it'd be so easy just to grab this. But I like made sure I looked at the packages, and even if it was like, you know, just supposed to be this like carne asada in the thing, I would like turn it around, because it's like they have everything else, you know, like the sauces or the juice or whatever, and it would be like, you know, a sugar. And so I was like, nope, I guess I'm gonna have to do it on my own. So I just got, you know, chicken, ground turkey, some pulled pork, and I'm gonna just, yep. So I gotta cook today. So but at least I have some. That's why I had the chicken, because it was like that's all I had.
So it's just meat right now, right? I think you had talked about just doing meat for 3 weeks or 2 weeks. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm doing eggs. Yeah, but yeah, I'm just doing meat. And I don't know if I'll, I'm going to try to do the whole, like, I mean, we say 90 days, but I'm going to definitely do like the 30, and then like,
yeah,
because I don't mind vegetables. And that's exactly kind of like what I was, you know, talking to Mark about it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. And he was like, you know what? Sounds like our trays that we used to make before were just a meat and a little bit of a vegetable. And so he's like, it seems like, and I'm like, yeah, but so I'm excited.
So what I would say is, and this is what, so I started, when I started doing it, because at the beginning I wasn't taking it seriously. And I was like, okay, well, let me do it for real. And then I just went, first I did straight beef. You know what I mean? Like I was just doing,
Ooh.
And that's heavy. But the thing is, the reason it was good was because I wasn't hungry as often, and I wasn't getting those, you know, those hunger pangs that you get, or you're like, and I would have like snacks or whatever. And you know what I mean? Like you're just constantly putting it in your mouth. You know what I mean? Like, so a lot of that stuff subsided just because I wasn't hungry, you know, and I didn't want to. Because eating a slab of meat is heavy, you know, it's heavy on your stomach. And I would eat to get, you know, nice and full. It wasn't like not, you know, like a small piece of, no, I was eating a good size. And then to your point is I was started to eat when I was hungry. And then I started realizing that I was only getting hungry once a day. And so today, right now, that's what I'm doing. I'm only eating once a day. I eat a good size meal. And then, so I was showing Samantha this, that, you know, when I came back from the trip, I started drinking, you know, going out on the weekends again, type of thing, you know, whereas before I was taking, you know, little breaks. And so I was showing her a graph of my, like my, cause I weigh myself daily, and I was showing her, look, you can see on the weekends where it spikes when I drink.
Spikes. Because
when I drink, obviously I'm eating junk food, you know what I mean? Like I'm eating pizza and I'm eating all that. And that's where the weight gain is coming in. So it spikes like 5 pounds. And then the whole week it takes to bring it back down, and then it spikes again. And I'm I need to take a break. But I mean, the results are instant, in my opinion. Like when people say, oh, it's going to, you know, no, you start seeing it, the weight the next day, like I'll see the weight, especially after what I ate. And once I had like a base pattern.
And I think if you work out on top of it,
yeah,
it helps.
Exactly. So so I was talking, you know, to the girls last night, and I'm telling them, you know, what I want to try to do. So they were like, well, you should probably, you know, get a bike. And I'm like, I already have a bike. The problem is that it's dangerous out here. There's no bike lanes. I have to ride my bike to get somewhere where I can ride the bike. But on the way there, it's like a freaking obstacle course because cars and, oh my God, it's fucking, anyway. All right, let's get down to the episode. We've had enough about the carnivore diet. If you haven't tried it, give it a try. I'm telling you, it was the best decision that I make. I know it's not for everybody, but it worked for me. So, and I feel much better.
Yeah.
Better than veganism.
And if you're wanting to, like you said, I just started. So if you need a accountability partner, reach out.
Well, what we might do is I'll ask you every weekend how it's going. And I guarantee you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm so bored of meat.
Ooh.
You are going to say that.
No, wait until next week. And she's like, I had queso all week.
No, I'm going to do it. No. I'm going to do it because I'm tired.
It wouldn't be the first time. I mean, when you try competing, you got super slim and everything.
Yeah, you did.
Shouldn't be hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just being consistent, right? And sticking to whatever you're doing. So
yep. Just like anything.
All right. So, let's get into the conversation. Now let's talk first about that TikTok video that I sent you guys, and I'm going to play it here for the audience. And, so this is obviously, you know, those kind of interviews where somebody's going, you know, they're in the streets and they're asking random people questions. And so this one focuses on, you know, the question that this guy's asking girls is, who is the prize in a relationship? And it's interesting to hear some of the responses. And so we're going to kind of react to this and analyze some of these responses. So
men typically have to have looks, money, and status in order to attract lots of beautiful women. How is the man not considered the prize?
Wow, that was mind-blowing. You just mind-blowed me.
I feel like because for them to have that, they have to pull the woman. So you can't pull the woman without all those things. So you're pulling the prize by having them.
Okay, first of all, that logic, can you explain, Samantha, like what does she mean by that? Because I was trying to figure out what do you mean you pull the prize?
So like you're doing all right, like you're dressing right, you got the car, you got the job, or you're flashing your money or whatever it is to have these things because you're trying to get this prize. You're trying to get the girl. You're chasing. Like we go back to those cardinal, like men do this, women do this. It's that piece of it. So like if you had none of that and you're trying to chase the girl, you're probably not going to get it. So you have to attain all those things. So then you have a higher chance probability of actually getting your prize.
Right.
So in cardinal, it's like Well, you don't have to go through the whole video. It's like the woman's the prize.
Yeah, but okay. Well, let me ask you this, Samantha. Do you think that the woman is the prize then? Is that what you really think?
That the woman is the prize?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the thing. I think in general, yes, I'm like, you know, women, like, we are the prize. However, I do think when you really break it down to women and men, and like, if you, like, as a woman, you do also want a prize pony. You want the guy that has the things, right? Right. That you okay. value, so then, whether it be
let me ask you this.
Money or whether it be the
right. So then, if both of the prize, right, and men have to do certain things to win the woman as a prize, and women have to, what do women have to do in their lives to win the man as the prize? And I think society has defined men's activity, like laps. We'll call them laps. You know, you have to get a, you know, have a stable job. Have to have, you know what I mean? Like, you have to work on yourself and be able to get there in order to win the prize. What are those things that women have to do in order to win the man as the prize?
So I believe, and I think most people are probably there, that for a girl, we're already doing like these, if you, you know, obviously get in a relationship and like if you ever like split bills or whatever, or, you know, have the same account and you realize you're like, man, the maintenance for a woman. So when you guys are seeing this woman and all these things, whether she's got, you know, fit or her hair looks nice, she keeps up with it, like, or wherever you see her as, she's probably doing something to do that, whether it be facials, whether it be like Botox or the fillers, or because you don't look like the cat lady because you do a filler. You actually look regular. Your hair stuff, all of that stuff is the maintenance, is the things that you have to do that you're seeing. And that's just the visual, because guess what? When you're at a bar, you're not seeing if like, can that girl cook? Can that girl do all these other things? That's your first thing you're going to look for. And so that's the first thing women pour into, because we talked about on this other episode, you can literally, you will put up with a lot of crap if she does these certain things. Mm. And then if she can cook and she cleans, all that is a bonus. All that is like, and maybe before that was something that was a higher quality back in the day. Maybe like, I don't know, like the 1800s when there wasn't like deodorant and stuff and there wasn't like much a woman could do, you know, where you are in the house and like you, those are the roles. But after that, they've changed. And now it's like,
so
I just but for don't the believe most that that's part, something that is as high on the chart.
For the most part, a man has to do certain things before he even considers it. But the things that you're mentioning in it, like cooking, those are things after she has the man. And so my question is, are there things that a woman should do before? And so what I'm trying to lead at is this, is that I think yes, but then the question becomes what? And then the answer becomes, what is important to men? And I don't think society is asking those questions. And when men say what is valuable to them, people get upset. Women get upset about what men's expectations in women are. But however, women can have those certain expectations of men that they have to work at it even before they can, you know, voice their opinion about what girl they want. He needs to come to the table with certain things. One, to your point, he needs to take care of himself. Two, he needs to have, you know, good status. He needs to make sure that whatever he's doing, he's striving for goals. And then he also needs to have money, right? In general. Like if we're talking about mature women, what they look for in a man, those are the things that they look for in men: stable, take care of himself, and has money. And then the question, then to again, the point that I want to reiterate is, I think we as a society have those expectations for men in general. There are exceptions, of course, but then we don't have that for women. And even if they're voiced by men, I think society has kind of said, well, no, you don't get to. That's male chauvinism or that's male control. But you wanted to say something, Tim. I know you've been wanting to chime in.
I've just been waiting. I don't think even those girls know what the hell they're talking about. They just seem so confused, and they just blabber.
Yeah, you know I mean? Will talk about
and
that.
And to
yeah.
say anything's a prize, I mean, it's not a prize. Yeah, because then basically you're saying you're an object.
Oh, but I get what you're saying.
You're objectifying it instead of saying, so now.
So how would you word it, Tim?
They complain that they get objectified and then they objectify themselves.
No, that's the question. Question. You could use another word for it to be something different, but also can be the same thing you're trying to get at. And then you're like,
but I don't even think they know
right
what they're
now,
talking
going
about.
Going back to semantics, like, because she said this, ever it means the that. Question. No.
But nobody's ever asking that question. Like, just like anything, nobody ever, ask the question. And then when you ask them the question, they get confused and they just blabber. Like, it just makes no sense. Like, what she tried to explain in that 30-second clip, like, I have no idea what she was trying to say. Like, they got confused, like, I know, good question.
I also,
like,
don't know if this is, like, I mean, it's at nighttime. They're probably leaving a bar. I think there's, like, probably some other factors in there. It doesn't look like it's just, like, you're going to, like, a college campus and doing, like, a, I don't know, you know, actual question answer with, like, to that comment of, like, they're just blabbering and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay. Let's keep playing it, because the guy continues to ask other women and pose these questions, and we'll dissect the rest of these. But like I said, I think the only thing that I caught from this, which is, I don't necessarily object to women having expectations, having standards, and the type of men that they want. I don't have an objection to that. What I object to is that when they object to a man now expecting certain things, you know, from women, if both are the prize, right? If both, and so, but let's keep playing this.
When it comes to dating and relationships, who is typically seen as the prize, the man or the woman?
Me, bitch.
Yeah, the woman.
Okay, so if the woman is the prize, why even bother going out with a man in the first place?
I don't know.
That's a good
great question.
The woman.
Okay, so that question. If the woman is the, well, first of all, notice how they respond.
It's so stupid that even that response was ridiculous. Oh, then why even go out with a man if you're the prize? It's like, the whole point to being a prize is also to be won. Like, you want to do the things and then win me. Like, that's the whole point of the whole game. Like, that's what it's about. Like, you play the game and you win the prize. So it's like, because I'm a prize doesn't mean that, like, yeah, someone is supposed to, like, get me. And it's hopefully then, when you're playing the best out of the five, so then you're also getting the best. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and these girls are young, immature, and they're college girls. So this is, to me, a typical college response. Like, they just don't know anybody. Like, they can't actually think for themselves. They have to say the right answer because they just think that that's how it is. That's that entitled bullshit.
I think you made a valid point, Tim, there. And I think this is the indoctrination that they've been receiving. We may say no and we may doubt it, but I promise you, this is indoctrination that they're getting in colleges, because they've been taught how to think. And to your point, Tim, they're not thinking critically, because as soon as this guy offers just a tad bit of logic, they're like, oh, shit, I didn't think. Because think about what those girls said, right? No, first of all, I don't think a guy who would answer that way, like, for example, if a guy was asked, who's the prize in a relationship? And the guy says, you know, me, bitch. Like, how that girl responded. Yeah, to your point, Tim, it is immature. But I think men would be canceled right away the second that they said, you know, if he asked, oh, why even date women to begin with? And then the guy's like, yeah, fuck women. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's like immature. It is, maybe to Samantha's earlier point, this is in settings where they're probably just out having fun and they're not answering seriously. That might play into this, but I don't know.
This one's in the middle of the day.
Yeah, this one's interesting right here, because these girls get stumped.
The woman.
So who's the prize in a lesbian relationship? Both of them?
Both of them. Yeah, oh God.
Both be the prize.
So then why aren't they both the prize in a heterosexual relationship?
Because
I was about to say men are down here and women are up here.
Damn. Okay,
so are women equal to men, or are women superior to men?
For sure, superior.
Okay, so then why do women go around saying they want equality when they actually want superiority?
It's just for the look. So people just want to be like, oh, I'm gonna go look for this, but they're actually looking for money.
Why is it, do you know what the definition of chauvinism is? Chauvinism means one sex thinking they're superior to another. Why is it when men think they're superior, we call it chauvinism, but when women think they're superior, we call it feminism?
That's a great question.
Okay.
But again, everything those three girls were saying, or four girls, it sounds exactly like it's from a women's studies class in some college. You know what I mean? They don't even think. They took critical thinking out of their process, and it's just a quick boom. You know, lesbian. Oh, yeah, they're both the prize. Well, what about we're superior. That's a dumb answer.
See, and I think the reason that these professors or people who are teaching them this, the reason they justify it is they'll say, well, men have been in control for such a long time and women aren't in power, and therefore That's why women can talk this way, because this is their way of fighting the patriarchy. This is their way of gaining foot in a society that's run by men. This is how they think. And so therefore, the statement that they said, it can't be considered chauvinist, even though they just said they don't want equality. They want superiority. They admitted to that. And so, you know what I mean? Like, well, then why are you guys crying for equality?
I think, you know, it's like, to me, it's a very leading. And to your point, regardless if that's, you know, true or not true, or you don't feel like that, to Tim, your previous point where they're like not thinking. And so this question, this line of everything is very, okay, so if it's not this, it's that. And then they're like, oh, well, it's this. You're right. They're not, I believe, actually critically thinking, because then if someone would say those things to me, I'm like, well, first off, like, that's not the same thing. Like, the superiority piece, it's like, he throws it in there and like, well, yeah, it's like, they're not thinking, to your point, regardless of what he's saying. And then it's like these, I think, leading questions to what his
agenda,
I'm sure it's, yeah, agenda kind of flows through more than an actual conversation to really understand what people are thinking. It really wasn't that. It's to place these people and make them look like, okay, let's see what people have to say. But like, it just makes people honestly kind of look stupid. But I don't really believe that that's truly what they really think, that they want to be superior, because you should also know how it feels like.
She kept going.
Someone, you know, you're better than them.
Well,
you know?
Think about how the girl answered, because she said, I was about to say women are up here and men are down here. He didn't put those words in her mouth. She said that. She's like, well, I was about to say women are up here, men are down here. Imagine if a guy had said that. You know what I mean? Like the whole feminist movement would have come down on this guy and completely canceled him.
But that's what it was already. That's how it was. But so you can't say, a man said that? That's how it was. What do you mean? That, like, when women and minorities have to like fight to vote and fight to like have anything, that's actually how it was. You don't have to say it. That's actually how society was based. We were a property. We were these things. So it's not about now saying, hey, if we did, it's like, you have to now get through that. Not saying what she says is right, but like a guy doesn't have to say that. That's how today. It was. And like how
it doesn't exist today. That's what I'm telling you. Like that shit doesn't exist. The people, those kids, those people who, those women didn't grow up in a system like that. Nobody around them owned slaves. Nobody, you know, so all that shit is all gone. And so what have you struggled with, little girl, that makes you think that you need superiority and allows you to talk this way? Sorry, I forgot to mute my phone. Yes, I acknowledge.
The superiority thing is wrong.
Yeah. Every time when I hear these people speak, all right, those are the same people that cry that you're a fascist, you're a this, you're a not, you know, but I'm like, I'm listening to this. I'm like, what you're saying is the definition of what you cry about everybody else being and having privilege. Like mm-hmm. that, answering like that, to me, that's privilege.
I agree.
You live in a privileged society that you could say that you feel superior than everybody based on, you know, your gender. Now, all of a sudden, they know what a woman is. Now, if that same guy asked, what is a woman? They wouldn't be able to, they would be like, they would just throw some crazy shit out.
I will also agree with you that it's interesting that it's okay now to use language like that and be so outwardly, hey, da 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 da. It's almost like you said that counteract on top of like what you were told, like, oh, you know, this happened before, so now we can come and say these things. I agree that isn't right. I agree that like you should be able to want a movement and like have equality and all those things without then being like, I'm superior and like you need to be down here and men are down here. Like that's right. Where feminism fails. To me, and like you guys know how I am, like that's where it goes wrong. That's where I'm saying we've lost the real essence of it, because it wasn't that
right.
It wasn't that though before. That's not how it started, and that's not what it like, but yes, it has gone left. Like
but that's why people supported a feminist, you know, like, oh, you know what, it does make, you know, if they want to go to work, they should be treated, you know, definitely a little bit, you know, more fair, right? Like nobody denies that. But when you start seeing where all these movements have gone, you're like, wait a minute, you know what I mean? But then when you get a guy like Andrew Tate that comes out and he starts spewing all, you know, male testosterone type shit, they want to cancel him. But I'm like, the reason why an Andrew Tate exists now is because of things like this. These men are being belittled by the system. These kids are taught that they are
everything's
inferior
about
to women now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But But now when these boys are being told you're inferior, that's dangerous.
Right. I think that to Samantha's point, that we've tried to compensate for the mistakes of the past, and the method that is being pushed today is to bring down men in order to elevate women. And that's not how this shit works. And you know what I mean?
Like, totally wrong.
It's totally wrong.
It's like doing
wrong.
The same thing.
Right. Right. Okay. So let me continue playing this because it only gets better. And to the point that I made earlier, which is, you know, we don't live in that society today. And to prove that point, one of these girls proves that point because she talks about all about pussy power. Right. And that's a term that we all heard and we know about and it exists. Right. We know pussy power exists. And I'm going to play the rest of this.
Is it possible for a bisexual woman to be submissive with a man but dominant with a woman?
Yes.
Isn't that called a switch?
I think so, yeah.
If men have it easier in society, would you be willing to switch gender roles with a man?
No.
Why not?
No. Pussy is power.
Why are women more likely to switch gender roles with another woman than she would switch gender roles with a man?
Again, pussy is power.
Okay.
I don't know.
So if pussy is power, why are women always talking about how hard it is to be a woman in our society?
Cause dudes ain't shit.
She's drunk.
Why aren't guys allowed to say that women ain't shit?
She is drunk.
Because that's disrespectful. What if your mama wasn't shit?
Well, once again, then why is it not equally disrespectful to say that dudes ain't shit? If women talk about equality.
You know what, that's...
See, okay, she says that's a good question, but he stumps her, and you may be right, Tim. She might be drunk, and maybe it's unfair, but these are things that alcohol just removes your inhibition. So these are thoughts that are in her head. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so she's expressing, but again, she's just regurgitating what she's been told. You know, in the circles that she's in, this mentality. That, you know, and I think this guy, the interviewer, does a great job of asking, okay, well, if pussy is power and you wouldn't trade positions with a man because pussy is power, then what doesn't that mean? Doesn't that erase your argument of inequality?
I don't think that it erases. So I guess a couple things. So like in there when she was saying, oh, that's a good question. When people say that, this is where I believe it comes from. And for me, you guys know this is big, where like you may not know, but a point you're making and then someone's right. And you're like, you know what? Like, that is also true. And it doesn't mean that what you were saying isn't valid, but it also means you need to think more about the whole scope of the argument. So she paused so long there to be like, oh, well, if, you know, I'm not sure, but the answer is it's wrong and you shouldn't say that, you know, but you don't want to actually admit that and say, well, you were wrong about something, because then you feel like it disinvalidates your entire argument. When it doesn't, it just means like, hey, yeah, how I was thinking, I put myself here. And if I think about it, yeah, it's probably not the right thing to do, but I did it. Like, that would be a better response, to be like, yeah, you know, and that's where in all, you know, whenever it hits that question, I feel like they're just like, oh, I don't know. Or that's a good question. Cause it's like, you didn't really think fully about it if you put yourself in another person's shoes, you know?
Right.
And sometimes that can be, human nature. Like when you get, you know, when you're trying to get a thought out and you just say it without thinking it through, you know what I mean? And it becomes a little word salad. I mean, I've said it numerous times where people can take what I say out of context because, you know, sometimes my delivery ain't right. I didn't think about the right words to use, you know, or I spoke in a generic way where it could be mistaken, or, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But this, when I see this, you can take this scene and go to any city, any street, any college campus, any high school campus, and ask majority of the girls, and these are the answers you're going to hit, because they've all been told to say the same thing. And a lot of guys will probably wind up answering the same way. A lot of guys will answer that because they're afraid to get canceled. So they already know that they are inferior to this new woman's movement. And majority of these kids, you ask me and you, we're going to give you a different answer.
That's such a great point that you're making, Tim, because, and it's relatively new. Okay. Because men and women, in the history of humanity. Okay. And as far back as we have records for, at least, they had never worked side by side. Okay. All this is relative. Maybe in the farms, right, where they were like close to each other and where they had to be side by side. That was very rare. Wasn't common. And so it is very recent, to your point, in the span of time, it's a drop in the ocean of human civilization, the time that we live in today, that we are now working closer together, men and women. And we're put in situations where, because we have to work together, we're having to learn how to communicate with each other. Okay. And I don't have to be a, you know, psychologist or, you know, a biologist or to understand that men and women communicate differently. Just ask any married couple. Men and women have different ways of communicating. But this idea that we men have to change the way that we speak in order to accommodate women, in my opinion, is a childish way of thinking. It's not just men who have to change. And the whole idea that there is a patriarchy, right now there is. There's this idea that men are the bad players in this. And it's immature thinking because, again, I say this point all the time, there wasn't a council of men who were sitting and saying, how do we oppress women? That never happened in the history. It was both. People decided that this was the way to go, okay? And I've said this quote before, and I'm going to say it again. And it's from the movie, I think, Inglourious Basterds. There's a great quote in there. And it was...
Nazis.
He said, ideas are peaceful. History is violent. And so life for the majority of humans has been, and for the most part, most of our existence, has been hard, especially for men who broke their bodies. They literally broke their bodies just to put food on the table because, again, during those times, men were the ones who had those jobs that were labor intensive, right? Yes, women, I'm not saying that women didn't play a role. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that for the most part, shit that beat the body was shit that men were doing, you know, creating infrastructure, building a civilization. So again, it is only recent with the ingenuity of technology, you know, and that we enjoy today, certain things like air conditioning that we have, you know, we now have comfort, that in this modern society, we are now, women are not able to come into the workforce, right? And we've built it to, and this was done by men, folks. I mean, and I'm not saying all men are great men. No, I'm saying that this was brought on by mostly men. You know what I mean? And I'm just stating as a fact. But what I fear happens, and I'll let you talk right now, Tim. What I fear happens today is we, modern society, we're arrogant about the past and about our ancestors, because a lot of people will wag their finger judgmentally at the past, at our ancestors, from a position, I always say this, a position of ingratitude. We stand on the shoulders of giants who paved the way for the world that we live in today. And we do it as if we just got here miraculously and we're the enlightened generation. That's not how it happened. And so, I think that's what the fight is for. And I'm going to make one more point. Because we're about to lose this. And to your point, Tim, you see this everywhere. You can go in any college campus anywhere and ask a random set of girls these questions. They're all going to answer the same thing because they've been indoctrinated to believe that. And here's what I will say. And I've been doing audiobooks, and I've been listening to the Bible, the Exodus commentary on that. And the guy makes a great point. And I was like, man, this is so true. And he says... The unique preservation of the Jewish religion, one if not the only longest surviving organized monotheistic religions in the world. That goes back to ancient times, dude. There's no other religion that can claim that. And yeah. So this guy asks why, and the reason is because they honored and respected the wisdom of the past. And they have encapsulated all of that in traditions, in rituals, in practices that have been passed down generation to generation. And I think if we don't adopt that method, and when I say we, I talk about the American experiment that has been awesome. if we don't adopt that method somehow, and we don't instill this in future generations, this beautiful idea, the system that we've been able to create, again, was created by great men. We cannot survive, dude. It cannot survive because it's being torn down by people who, again, wave their finger at the past and said, well, you've been in control for far too long, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wow, wow.
I think about this, right? And I sent you something earlier, too, about, you know, what, you know, something that's going on in Chile, right?
Yeah.
This progressive movement, right? All this progressive movement. Do any of these people look happy? Like, when you look at all this, no, but let's think about it. Look at feminism. Look at feminists. Do they look happy? Every time you see them march, like, the veins are coming out of their throats. They look so miserable and angry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing, like, doing the right thing and saying, hey, I stand for women's rights. But they get so angry.
I'll tell you why. It's because, and we'll expand on that later, and I'll let you finish your thought. But I believe it's because they don't have purpose. They have convinced themselves that to search for a job and career and live as freely as you can, that's joy. But they're finding out very quickly that that doesn't give purpose in life. And I will let Samantha talk because she's the mother here and she has a family. But I think a lot of women have relinquished that responsibility. And they've been sold lies that if they adopt this, they will be happy. Sorry, go ahead. Let you finish.
No, and that's the point I wanted to finish. And then I want to hear Samantha's take on this, yeah. You know, with the whole thing. You know, this country was for, you know, a good, you know, since World War II, you know, from, you know, the 40s until probably, you know, maybe the 70s, was a very conservative country, right? Even a little bit before, you know, you had to pay, people respected it. Even if you voted Democrat, it was very patriarchal, right? And now all they're trying to do is get rid of that. And you see what's starting to happen as they are stripping it away, right? Women don't want to be mothers anymore. Women want to go get their sex, you know, they want to get their, you know, them get mutilated, right? And become a man because they feel like that's the way they have to fit in and all this crap. And you're seeing more and more of it celebrated now, right? So you're stripping away almost every part of what that, you know, a conservative movement is, right? It's not about politics. It's about, you know, a husband and wife having a family, right? Growing it together, passing your wealth down. When you have a strong family, the government can't break you, right? But when you have a weak family and everybody becomes weak and divided, now the government is your daddy. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what we're seeing right now, all over the place. I mean, with every movement, everything's like, oh, the government's involved. You know, the government's involved. The government's given money for it. The government's got programs for this. The government supports, keep single mothers forever and not, you know, they give money to single mothers, but they don't want to give, you know, money to people to stay together. They'd rather just get the mother on that government assistance and say, we're going to keep giving it to you instead of saying, hey, you have a family? Guess what? And you're getting married? Oh, we're going to give you a $10,000 tax credit, you know, so that you can go buy a house or you get a discount for building your family. You don't get rewarded, it seems, anymore for having a family. You get more rewarded for either not having a family or not having a full family, right? Single mothers, whatnot. But if it's a single father, they don't want nothing to do with that. Yeah. Oh, your single father stepping up? Oh, okay. But now to your point with Samantha, you know, how do you feel about that? Like, as you do have, you know, you are a mom and you're also, you know, you do go for the women's rights and you want to be, you know, Miss Career and have a house, you know, it's a lot to juggle.
You know, it is a lot to juggle. And I wanted to quick touch on a few things, too, is that, you know, back to the video and the lady and she was like, no, pussy is power. And, you know, really that boils down to, you know, sex. It really isn't about the part, because we can see that play out and how powerful that is through things like sex trafficking, right? And how that actually works and being like saying like prostitution is the oldest, you know, I don't know, work.
Oldest form of work.
In yeah, yes, oldest form of work. And because it's through that. Now, when we keep talking about the flip and like trying to use something and make it this positive thing or take control of it, which is where it goes wrong. So we know these things. So now women in this, you know, I don't want to say fake movement, but in this fake security of, okay, well, you know, pussy's power and I have this power because it's mine and did it. But it's like so quickly, if you don't not even control, but understand what it really means and how it's really used, it's still not, again, to the point of like human trafficking, it's not yours to control. Someone will, I don't want to say take it, but that's what they're doing. They're taking people and they're putting them in, you know, to be sex slaves because sex is the piece. But then going back to also the feminism part of it is that when you said, Saul, like, hey, you know, men created this. It's like, I agree that the world, not feminism, they created like the, yeah, how we've now gotten to this part of it, because you're right. And I'm, that's why I think it's so important for like women to also take that step and realize I've done this through work, to your point, being a mother, all these things is like to get things. I don't want to just say like to get things done, but truly, whether you want to talk about being great and having mentors, where you want to bring it into sports, you having people who like coaches around you. The whole point is for women to get where they've been, where they're going, and where, you know, is the advocacy of men and how it's transformed. But it didn't just happen because a bunch of women were with purple hair were screaming in these movements. It didn't happen like that, as we all know. So again, we always talk about a balance, and that like we have to together, everything is together, because this is what happened before. It was just, we want to say men doing this, and now it's women just doing this. But it's like, when are we actually working together? And not in together, when I say advocacy of men, to work for women, because when we talk about these progressive movements, it takes like a bunch of people to make that happen. And, but to your point, it can only take one to do something where the media is there, where then it blows out of proportion, or somebody wants a different agenda to make that go left. And then to answer your actual question, Tim, that you know, asked me about, I kind of went on a rail of things. But I think the biggest thing is women want the option. I know that I do. So when we talk about, I can really only talk about myself, but because I do all of these things, I want the option. There's plenty of women who are happy just being a stay-at-home mom. And that is a hard job. And I honestly am impressed. And I bow down to that, because I know for me, it's a lot. And I'm like, that's not me. Like, that's not what I want to be. But that those who have to do it, that is like, that is a serious job. That's no playing around, like hands down to stay-at-home moms. But to the point of having the option, and that's why I'm a feminist, or I really support certain things, because when you don't have the option, that's when it gets mucky. That's when you start getting left and people start saying, well, I want this and that, whether they want it or not. They're just fighting for something that's not even.
I did want to expand on that, on the notion of option. Okay. Because in some societies, and for a long time in certain cultures, even in our cultures, for, you know, dating back maybe hundreds of years, which is, again, it's a drop in the span of time of human civilization. It is. For a long time, men didn't have an option. You married to what was going to give you status. You were paired. You know, this idea that men decided. I mean, like I said, I'm reading the book of Exodus, and I read the book of Genesis, and this goes to thousands of years in history where you think the men had a choice. Like, you know what I mean? Like they didn't have choices. And so when women talk about, well, men have, you know, like they decide and we just want the option. Sure. Okay. That's a modern view, but the idea of men having option was relatively new as well. And so men for a long time did not have option. And this was the societies and the cultures that we all derive from. I mean, to, you know, Tim, you know, you're Italian. They were known for this kind of stuff, you know, the arrangement of stuff. Name any go back to the history of any race, and they have this.
But that's so what I'm saying.
But I want to finish my point, because I just want to address it. But what about family, right? And about, to tie into what you said, Tim, that this is the movement that's happening. And I'm sharing a picture here because somebody sent this to me earlier today. And it was like, I'm going to save it because this is so poignant to our conversation. And in the picture, I'm going to describe it to the listener. But in the picture, you see two sides, right? On the one side, you have a woman with four babies and a husband. And then in comparison, you on the other side, you have a single girl with wine in her in one hand, a pizza in the other, and a cat. And she's sitting on a table with a dildo on the table. And yeah, because the sexual revolution. I mean, this picture summarizing what women have been told for the last 40 years, right? The sexual revolution, freedom of for women. And so to encompass what Samantha was saying is that at a certain point in time, feminism had a goal. But they've overshot, and now the movement is now heading to this, where they're telling women that this is what you want and this is what's ideal. And when my friend sent me this, you know, we were having a conversation, and I'm like, you know what? To me, family brings purpose. When we don't pursue that, both men and women, when men and women don't pursue that, or even have that, or attempt to have that as a goal, we end up aimlessly wandering this world without purpose. I really do believe that. A lot of the stuff that I'm going through, a lot of the stuff that I know friends are going through, this is why. Because we are not fulfilling our purpose. Women, and I'm gonna say this. Maybe this might be, no, you know what, Tim, I'll let you talk because I wanted to go out to a different point. But yeah, so this is what I wanted to get at is I think we're not fulfilling our purpose. And it's because we've been told this by in the last 40 years.
You know, and I think about all these movements. I mean, every single movement right now, the feminist movement, this abort, you know, with the crazy abortions, and then you get the climate people and all the crap they're saying, and the race people and all this shit. You ever notice they all say the same thing? They all have the same talking point. So it's like the same, all this stuff that they say is for progress has been hijacked. You know, right. The LGBTQ stuff.
Yep.
All of that. They say the same messaging, and they it's to a T, the same exact words and the same exact people that are all involved in it. And these movements have been hijacked, in my personal opinion, by a lot of this Marxist ideology. They want to get rid of the picture on the left because, like I said earlier, that is strong. You can't break that. The person on the right, with the woman eating the pizza with the cat and everything, she says she's happy, but is she? You know what I mean? She has, like, to your point, she has no purpose, mm-hmm. right? She has no purpose. But now when you take away her purpose and now she's got college debt, she's got no man, she's depressed. She's now taking pills, right? She's got, you know, anxiety. She's part of the system. She's not happy. So right there, that picture on the right, that you just, you keep these industries going, you know, you create multi-billion dollar industries running based on the picture on the right. You know, the picture on the left with a full family, yeah, there's industries for that, but they don't need it all, right? Not every, that whole family, you know what? They're doing things together. They're not sitting around wasting entire weekends watching Netflix most of the time. You know, they're busy. they're going to church, right? Most of them, right? Because families usually go to, you know, like that picture, you were going to church. You played in sports. You were active in your community. You paid attention to what was going on. You built something great. But if you take that away, there's no community with people on the right, with that right picture. They all stay home. They don't care about what goes on. Yeah, but the girl.
And you know what, Tim?
The picture on the right is what every city looks like. Like, that's what's living in every city. And look at the cities.
In the liberal cities. And what happens, to elaborate on that point, that once they find themselves in this situation, and to your point, they're popping pills and they're doing all this in order to compensate for not fulfilling their purpose, they end up blaming men. And that's why you see a ramp up in the hate towards men, because what happens is that now, because they didn't find happiness and fulfillment in the choices that they made, it is because of the patriarchy. And so they'll blame men for the decisions that they made, and because the system is not allowing them to be happy about it. But again, like I was saying earlier, it is because you're not fulfilling your purpose. And in the same conversation that I was having with this friend of mine, because we were talking about, you know, relationships and what the sexes want. And she said it funny, but it's something along the lines is like, you know what, to be honest with you, women don't know. We women don't know what we want, you know, and they won't. Some of them are too proud to admit that. Right. But because this is a fight or a battle against men, against the patriarchy, women won't admit that. And it got me thinking, and I was like, and again, I'm going to say this, and it's not a criticism. It's an observation, okay, of the women in my life, okay? And I will say this. I agree with what she said. In general, most of the women that I talk to don't know what they want. Okay. And yes, that can be said for certain men because they're walking wondrously without purpose. And I'll give you an example as far as women not knowing what they want. Because on many occasions, when I've asked women, again, the women in my life, what is their ideal man? What they end up doing is they describe a man that to me doesn't sound masculine. Okay. I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things, but again, I don't consider some of the attributes that they describe as particularly masculine. And what happens is that they'll describe this man, but they date the complete opposite of what they describe. Because they say, no, I'm serious. I'll ask any woman, they say they want a nice guy, but they continually reward bad boys. And I'm making an observation, and I've said this figure over and over again. 80% of the women out there who are sexually active are rewarding 20% of the men out there. Okay. So again, women continually reward because these 20% of men, again, are betting the majority of women. And so that means that they have countless sexual partners. And so the numbers prove this. Ask any relationship, you know, people make jokes about it. There's movies made about this, about a guy asks the girl, what do you want to eat? And she doesn't know. She can never figure it out. And it creates fights. Am I lying here?
No.
I mean, this is something that's... So when women say, oh, well, I know what I want. Do you really? You know what I'm saying? Like there are certain instances where I don't know. I'm not a woman. I don't know why. But making the decision, a decision that requires, you know, you to decide... sometimes, and I'm not saying that there aren't women who can't, their history's full of women who were decisive, even more than men, even in modern types of day. Like, I'll take a major, Marjorie Taylor Greene, somebody who's fucking decisive. I'll take a Carrie, like somebody who's a woman who's vocal and freaking on top of shit, stronger backbones than men. So I'm not saying that there are no women who are like this, but I'm talking in generalities.
I think what happens is we get so put into a category where it's like, you have to pick one or the other. And I know I felt like that in so much of my life, but to the point where it needs to be a transition where it's like, you can change your mind and that's okay. I can want for maybe the first 20 years of my life or whatever it is to be this way or to think that this is what I want or wanted that at this certain point in my life and then realized or through more life experiences and whatever else that this now is something else I want. And I think people are afraid to, again, like I said, be wrong or not even wrong, but be able to
make mistakes.
To say, yes, at this point, I wanted that. And then now I don't. And I was trapped in that because I had a relationship before where someone would be like, you have to pick. It was always like black or white. And it was, you know, if you make your, like, it was, you know, a very, it just like, if you make your bed, you have to lay in it kind of person. Mm. Right. So it's like, yeah. If you choose that, then like, you got to sleep there. That's just how it goes. And it really just was like uncomfortable, but then it also was like, well, why does it have to be like that? And I think so many people feel that pressure of like, so then you are running around crazy because you feel like it has to be one and it doesn't, have to be one, but you also have to realize that when you choose something, you do need to have some follow through. You do need to do things for an extended period of time because you need to really understand it, like with a job, right? They always say like, don't just start a job and like quit in like 2 months. You got to give it 3, 6, a year. And then you can say, I do not like this job. I want to move on because you'll know enough then.
I'll give you a recent example, of a conversation that I had with Samantha. It was actually this week, the text conversation. She's going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I got to the point where I'm literally sending her memes where I'm like, just like, I'm done. I give up. You know, like, or good luck with that, because Samantha messages me and she's like asking me about the lion diet. And so, and then she's like, hello, are you going to answer me? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. She's interested. Let me give her what worked for me. So again, I'm thinking like a guy, black and white, right? Here's what worked for me. And she's like, well, what about this? And I'm like, no, don't do that. And she's like, okay. Well, what about this other thing? And I'm like, what's happening right now? Why am I, did you need my advice or what is happening? I understand that the end, but to see, this is unique, and we understand that men and women talk differently. You're right. A lot of times for men, a lot of shit is black and white. In general, for men, a lot of shit is black and white. And this is going to lead into the next conversation about movies, how that's ruining movies now. But before I go to that, I know Tim, you wanted to say something.
Recently, as I've been sending you guys videos as well, you watch when you see a lot of these feminists turn around and create videos going, this is a lie. And I know you don't like some of them, Samantha, because you feel like they're second guessing themselves or whatnot.
It has its own level of
you listen to
cult.
Some of the points they make and they're like, yeah, when I was fully in this world and, they were saying this, and then you start realizing like, wait a minute, like that's like counterproductive to what they're saying, right? Like the one I sent yesterday about, and it was like, it was the same girl, but you have the purple-headed feminist talking to the 1950s mom trying to explain to her it's true. She's like, wait a minute, I have to go, you can go to work and sit in a cubicle for 8 hours, then go home and do, yeah, well, that doesn't sound good. You know what I mean? And it was like when you actually hear what people say, granted, you're not going to say things like that fully, but when you go, well, if you don't want kids, you just take a pill and you can sleep with whoever you want. And then if you don't really like that, you can abort. And like, you tell it to somebody from like 1950, they're going to be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Because yeah, they didn't know any better, but you see how far this progressive movement, and it's like, is it really progressive? Is it really that progressive? Is it really benefiting the world? Yeah. You know what it's doing? It's stopping child creation. It's breaking up families. Oh, absolutely. It's good for the world, for climate change and all that. But is it really good for society if you don't have a population? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you said, even though there is going to be some of that, like, oh, wait, I have to do what? You have to, it also stemmed from that era. It also stemmed from just, not being at work at all. Not saying that like people want to work. I'm not saying that, because most people who actually work don't actually want to work. But do they want to do something to the point of having purpose? Yes. So like we probably should like remove like working and doing like X, Y, and Z to like having your purpose and feeling like whatever you do is joyful and like is you find purpose in it, right?
So, but I think it's all been that, but it's radicalization of it all. Right? Because
but it started the there because you said like, oh, if
but
you're
the
talking
movement started in the 50s, but when you think about how radical it got, right? Everything starts at a small level, right? You get one person that riles up a couple people, but then they start talking to the right and they're like, yeah, this is, they, if you sell something right, you can sell evil really well and make it sound like it's the best thing because we see it every day, right? You can sell something so evil to somebody. Right. But that's why I was talking about radicalization, right? Because if you think about it, you can sell something that's so radical that people go, they don't realize it's radical and they think it's normal. And they think that if you're against it, you're the radical one. Right. And that's why I always bring up like the quote unquote, what they call gender affirming care. Right. They normalized it, but it's really some crazy shit. And you see right. These doctors, these videos of these doctors, like mutilating. Knowing that it's wrong and they're mutilating people. Right. But they make it. They package it up like it's a good thing to where everyone's like, yeah, you go,
Because why, Tim?
Think about your inner self.
Because, and again, this is the difference in communication because, there's so many layers to this, but in conversations with women, a lot of times women place emphasis on intention more than they do on results. And so because that doctor had good intention, because she wanted to have this child find their identity, a lot of people will justify that. It is intention. It is not results. And again, to pivot to the next conversation, but to go along with what we're talking about, the difference in how the sexes communicate, Samantha was making a great point here. We do communicate very differently. Men see the world in general, very black and white. That's why evil is evil and good is good. And that's why the stories that we've told each other for millennia have always been like that. The evil was clearly defined as evil. But as we are going to move into this conversation about feminism in the modern in media and entertainment today, how that's ruining a lot of stuff. Because me and Tim are having this conversation. I'm like, he's like, bro, I can't watch these shows. And I'm like, I'm the same way. I have subscriptions to everything. I can't watch any of the modern movies, any of the modern TV series, they're all gone fucking way too woke, and they convey a message of hate against men. And now some people might think I'm exaggerating, but I'm going to break it down to you guys. Okay. So today, right now, this week, are the movies that are out, right? And this is not just in movies. This is in fashion. This is in imitation. This has seeped its way into a lot of aspects of media and entertainment. Okay. We might talk about She-Hulk, but just to go down a list, the show She-Hulk, full of feminist topics that in their mind seem like good ideas. But when you think about it, She-Hulk is a villain. Think of Lord of the Rings with the Ring of Power that I started watching, fucking ruined it for me. The main characters are all women, and they all look, when I look at it, they look evil. House of Dragons, the same way. Even in video games, dude, just this week it broke out. I mean, like there's a channel that's out there. I might not talk too much about video games, but again, you know, people are complaining about the video game characters, female characters that are too sexy. And what's crazy is that until women started going into those, becoming, you know, the video game girls, men didn't complain about the over exaggeration of the male character's physique in a video game. You know, think about all the different characters that were in video games. Men never said, oh, that's an unrealistic display of men. We never complained about it. But as soon as the over-feminized factions of society take control, and not just women, there's also over-feminized men, and they start running these companies, they complain. And so when you think about it, these companies for a long time, they were making money, huge amounts of money, based on the exaggeration.
Industries. I mean, this is why they exist.
The whole term sex sells. And it's not a mystery. Just because you wish something to be true doesn't mean that you have to ignore reality. And the reality is that, guess what? Sex sells. Anyways, I don't want to talk about video games. I want to really back into movies. And let me just finish this point. I'll let you talk.
Oh,
let me just finish this one. Because right now you can literally make any movie trailer from any of these shows that I talked about, whether it's She-Hulk, Lord of the Rings, or the new Game of Thrones. You can literally make movie trailers of all of those where you can paint the leading female at the role of the villain. I was watching a video today where this guy literally did that.
It's even getting to the point where if certain shows now have something that people realize they didn't like after it was released, right? They're going back and re-editing it in real time, right? I just heard that, like, they did, like, show, Stranger Things. They went back and edited, like, the first three episodes because it was offensive. They changed...
What part was offensive? Netflix, I didn't know that. What part?
I forget what it was because I only watched, like, one or two. I'm not big into it, so I was reading it. And then even on, like, Timcast, they talked about this. Like, they're going back in and editing shows that might be too offensive. But it's like that you're portraying the 80s. The 80s, this is how things were, but they were going back in because it wasn't sensitive or people got upset. So now you can watch something and I can watch something. And guess what? We're watching two separate things.
Wow.
Because you'd be like, oh yeah, that part. And they're like, no, that's not what happened. And now you're arguing and whatever is here, right? Whatever is at, you know, on that Netflix or whatever, however it looks on there, that's the truth now. Think about that.
It's like book burning.
So whatever the truth originally was.
Yes, Samantha, book burning.
Wait, say that again, Samantha?
Book burning.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. It's insane what's going on right now. You know, and that's why all these movies, that's why, like, I feel like they're doing this. Because as long as they don't, they're catering to the minority of people, right? The LGBTQ, but if you offend one, everybody comes to their defense, right? All the woke progress. You can't do that. So you're basically being force-fed this crap, right? So when you watch the She-Hulk, there's only one option at this point. Just stop watching it. If you do not agree with wokeness and all this, the only way wokeness ends, you have to kill them in the pocketbook. You have to cancel your subscriptions and do all that crap that we've been talking about. But we keep doing it for some reason because we're also in this world of, well, you know, if I don't have kids and I don't have a purpose, what do? I sit on my couch and fucking watch TV. You know what I mean? You know, so it's like you have to find those things. You have to have your purpose. Watching TV and making everybody rich, that shouldn't be your purpose. Your purpose should be is making yourself rich. Not always with money, but just spiritually, mentally, physically, all that, you know, monetarily. But we spend more time focusing on all this other crap. And if you turn it off, it goes away. Because if it doesn't work, they have to make things that work. So obviously, it's working for people. Even though they criticize the shit out of it, I think people like watching it so they can criticize it and get upset about it. Like we're doing right now.
Maybe. Maybe. No, but I did stop watching Lord of the Rings, man, the Rings of Power. So let me expand on that. And I might go in a little monologue. Sorry, guys. I'm monologuing a lot. The female characters in these shows, man, they appear like very narcissistic and self-centered. I'm not lying to you. Please, you just go watch the first episode of The Rings of Power. And I've watched some criticism of it. And again, even when the trailers came out, a lot of people were like, what is this? This is not J.R.R. Tolkien, which was the author of these books. And this completely goes against the lore of, you know, that series. It does. It doesn't stay true to it. And so I think these movies are dull. They are dull and they're uninspiring. Literally, I was falling asleep watching The Lord of the Rings, and I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. Like anybody that I meet, you know, that that I know hasn't watched The Lord of the Rings, I'm like, watch The Lord of the Rings and watch it with me. And, you know, this is freaking awesome. Anyways, that's how much of a fan I was, and I am. So anyways, and the reason I think these movies are uninspiring and they fail to inspire is simple. And I'm going to say why. And to Samantha's point of, again, the ways that men and women communicate, and men do see a lot of times the world in black and white. And the stories in the movies before, what they would do is they would depict a man, just an example, who was a hero, because what he would do is he would fight for something other than himself, for his wife, his kids, his country. The movies that are coming out today, they try to depict the leading woman character as a hero, and they fail. Because the woman in this role, they typically are fighting the patriarchy. I'm not lying to you. Go watch these shows. They're fighting a patriarchy. And to the vast majority of people outside of the feminists, this is boring. This is uninspiring, right? There is no clear evil. Oh, some guy, you know, catcalled you. That's what you're fighting? Not this evil guy who wants to destroy half of humanity, like a Thanos, like a, you know what I'm saying? They also fail, in my opinion, because while they are trying to portray the men as the evil isn't outlined clearly. They don't outline it. I watched the Lord of the Rings first episode, and I ended the first episode wondering, who's the villain? Who's the enemy? You know, I'm like, literally, I'm not lying to you. So what they do is they try to make you have even compassion for the villain. Oh, he was this way because his father, you know, did this to him, and therefore now you have to have compassion. And then so now you're like twisting. You're like, should I hate this guy? Should I not like this guy? Who's the hero? Who's the villain? Nobody. Everybody's good in their heart, and so it ends up just falling flat, dude. Like again, I said, and then nobody wants to watch that. So to me, they would have a better chance if they portrayed evil as clear evil, and the women protagonists fighting for her family, fighting for her husband, fighting for her children, for her neighbors, for her country. But then it's unnatural. Think about it. Ask any woman, because even for the blue-haired feminist, the idea of her fighting to protect a man sounds silly. So these movies will continue to fail unless and until the vast majority of women really embrace true equality, which is the idea that they have to work 10 hours a day, sacrifice everything, break their backs so that their husbands can stay home and raise the kids and make dinner. Until then, this is not going to work. And this idea that they're trying to sell. So ask any woman today, how do they feel about that? How do you feel about you going out and having to work a full-time job or whatever? And then once you get the response, you're going to understand why these movies fail, because it is unnatural. It goes against how we are biologically made. It really does. They don't inspire. They don't accomplish anything. Just more hate and more resentment towards men. And men are not going to watch that. And women aren't watching these shows either. How many? Anyways, yeah, I'm done with my rant.
When we talk about the movies, and obviously I have children and I have some, you know, friends with children, and whether it be Thor, whether it be I mean, obviously we know how Disney is, that it's really bad, but the narrative is not just how you're saying, you know, this, you know, hate men stance. What I wrote some things down, what you said, the narrative, what these people want to do and their forward agenda, like what their actual agenda is. It's probably a mixed bag of all bad, but like confusion. You're left confused. Yeah. You're left. Should I? Do I like this person? Do I not? How do I feel? The same thing with the women. I don't believe it's because somebody was like, oh no, you know, women are in these video games or wherever too sexualized and like, or like, what is it that their features are, you know, out of proportion or whatever.
Yeah.
Exaggerated. To the same, this kind of throws back in, but when we were having back through this woke stuff, you know, there's over here where I live, literally like things were changing. Like you can't say Squaw Peak, it's Pessoa Peak now. But you know what? You know who were complaining about that? Not Native Americans. They were not the ones trying to go knock on the door.
People.
Exactly. The advocacy was for people who have a different agenda.
White Marxist fucking communists.
Exactly. So going
like,
back
this
to this.
So annoying.
So it's the gender bending. It's how they want kids confused. It's how they want everything to be like. So you have no. It's really bad.
Nothing
and
clear.
You're being conditioned.
To not know. To be like, okay, well, is that okay? So like in Thor, where she's not like. She like you can't see her figure.
I didn't even see it. I didn't see the new one. I refused.
She can't see her. You can't see her figure. It everything is like. Is it a girl? Is it a boy? Different characters are now who used to be girls are like, call me Peter. It's like everything is about gender bending and making it confused and saying, oh yeah,
because that's
what
they want. It's gender fluid. You know, they want to make all these movies gender fluid, unisex, to where anybody could be interchangeable, right? You could sit there and put a female in a male role and a male in a female's role, and that male will say, my name is Janice instead of John, and they're like, oh yeah, she was so great and she brought out her inner spirit and that's who she really is and embrace it. And if you don't, you're white supremacist, you're a victim of this Christian white nationalism, right? Because if you got to see, to me, all these buzzwords that you're hearing in the news on left wing media and the headlines, even down to our president talking, you can hear all the words. And you're seeing it in those movies. You're seeing the radicalization and the indoctrination now in the movies. Because guess what? Why? Because cat's out of the bag in the schools, right? We're flipping school boards and everybody. And I know we got to wrap up. But we're starting to see that, okay, we caught on to this. So we're over here. But we're playing checkers and they're playing chess. Yeah, I mean, they just keep moving, you know.
The goalposts.
No, it really is because they control it all. They control the narrative. Yeah. Until you control the narrative... Right. And that's where I was listening to Sonny Johnson today on SiriusXM Patreon on my way home. And they were talking about how all this woke shit, all these movies that are, you know, like the Ghostbusters, you know, with the feminism shit. And then, you know, She-Hulk, she's like, these movies are just bad. They took good movies or good stories and made them bad. She's like, criticizing a Hulk twerking is not racist. It's nobody wants to see that. That has nothing to do about racism. That has nothing to do about a superhero movie, right? We want to see the superhero be a hero, not twerking. That has nothing to do with superhero. You're injecting this corporate cult because you want to make She-Hulk look cool because, oh, look at that. And you're normalizing this sexual move, right? I mean, we see a girl twerking at the club. It's cool, but you're over-sexual. So now if you're a kid, you're like, oh, look at that. And now you got these... The 8-year-olds going up in their house twerking like She-Hulk because She-Hulk is a positive character. But like you said earlier in the show, she's really the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because her messaging is not be girl power and we're going to kill evil. It's no. It's shake your ass and that's normal now.
Right.
That's the message from that show now.
Well, and you know, it's seeping into everything. Like I saw there was this, I should have sent it to you guys, but it was literally a Instagram or something. And it was how this doctor, right, a psychologist, this woman was fighting for, which is it's totally I can't wrap my mind around it, why it's literally to say, you know, pedophiles, like can't call them pedophiles. Yeah. That has a negative connotation to it. And, you know, they're called, it's literally the term they want to use now for these type of people, calling them like a type, like it's an actual, is
like minor attracted or something like that.
Yes. Yes. Where it's, I'm like, no, we're not changing it. Like, they have, you know, there's a reason why you can't live so close to school. There's a reason why you have to be on a database, like for you to act like, oh, let's like downplay what this really is out of control. And by, like you said, doctors who are mutilating kids, doctors who are saying, you know, pedophilia is like a disease or something that, like, you know, we shouldn't, you know, make them lepers of society. It's like, no, bitch, we should.
The term groomer is now an official
banned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's FBI.
Think about that. You cannot say the word groomer.
It sends flags to the FBI, literally. The Department of Justice and all those people who are starting to look into the MAGA, extremist MAGAs, those are the words that they're looking for. This is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
So, to look, I did want to say this, and then we do have to wrap it up. To quote J.R.R. Tolkien, who, you know, one of these shows is based off of his writings, He's attributed to this quote, but I couldn't find it, so I'm not sure, but this is attributed to him. And it is, evil cannot create anything new. They can only corrupt and ruin what good forces have intended or made. And so I think this wraps this up as far as what we've been talking about. But one thing I did want to mention about how they are controlling the narrative, and because the vast majority of people do not support this, they don't. So Amazon, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, they right now, they're all hiding the true ratings of these shows that have this progressive woke agenda. If I don't know if you guys have Amazon, but that's where the Rings of Power is playing. If you go to their website and you try to rate, you know, that show, it doesn't let you rate it. So they're suppressing because they know that the vast majority of people do not support it. And if the vast majority of people are only giving it one star, somebody who's never heard of it, they look and they say one star, they're not going to watch it. But they spent close to $1 billion in this whole series, and they've staked everything on it. And that's why I said to begin the show, it is time to cancel your subscription to these things. They need to see a mass exodus of people leaving this. This is the only way we change this. We cannot participate any longer. And like I said, I did. I'm going to freaking cancel all this shit. I'm done, man. I am done.
Yeah.
Contributing to this fucking woke agenda that is ruining families. It's ruining our country. It's ruining everything. All right. We're going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow. Hit the like button and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Later.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.